love's toughest work is forgiveness. When love is at its best, forgiveness becomes a part of our lives. When God died on a cross, He died to forgive my sins. That's awesome to think about. I hadn't been born a long time, thousands of years, but He still knew my name, still knew I was coming, still knew I was going to be a sinner. He died for me. He died for the world. Isn't it a shame that so much of the world doesn't know that or understand it? Becomes so muckled down in religion and confusion, and people fight over religion and die over religion when Jesus died so we wouldn't have to die over stuff like that. It's very confusing. It's all about forgiveness. When we're hurt, hurt makes anger. Hurt and anger are brothers. If you say something today that hurts me and we're friends, down the road a day or two, I'll be angry at you. It's just natural. It's a natural occurrence. And when that anger comes, it becomes destructive. It divides relationships, destroys families, destroys churches, communities, nations. All the world wars and all the things is just the lack of forgiveness and the controlling of anger in our lives. And God would like for us to forgive one another. He'd like to live in peace. He'd like for us not to just live by performance and expectations, but by the grace that we bestow on one another. So Jesus come in the process that we may have forgiveness in our life. Apart from Jesus, the only one that He never has problem with forgiveness. He just forgives us naturally. But we got a flesh side of our life. I got Ron Davis that I have to deal with every day of my life. I got the power of God that sure enables me to do better with Ron Davis. But same name as Ron Davis wants to do it my way. All sin is doing it my way instead of God's way. Sometimes I think that I know better or I'm only human and I can't forgive and I can't overlook these things. And then Ron Davis begins to just destroy my life and I destroy the lives around me. And we're the last ones to know it. Many times when people go through a relationship that breaks down, they're the last ones to know it sometimes. It just becomes painful in our lives. So forgiveness is something that we have to do. We must be a part of it, or we'll never grow anybody in the kingdom. We'll never really love, we'll never really enjoy life without forgiveness being a part of our lives. Man, when our debt has been paid for the sin I've been set free. And whenever that set free has become a part of our life, it makes all the difference in our lives to be forgiven. Holding grudges. We're pretty good at it. I clipped this. Let me read it to you. When you fail to forgive and you hold grudges. Everybody in this room is holding grudges somewhere. Say amen. Just make you feel better, okay? Just say amen. Somebody's really hurt you, ticked you, and it was maybe last week, last year, or years ago. And you've never really got through that. Let me tell you how foolish it sounds. Read this. One day a visitor leaned on an old fence around a farm, and he watched an old farmer plowing with a mule. After a while, the visitor said, "I'd like to tell you, you know, not how to run your business, but if you could save yourself a lot of work by saying he and haw to those mules instead of just tugging on those lines." The old farmer pulled a big handkerchief out of his pocket, wiped his face, and he said, "Reckon you're right, but that animal kicked me 5 years ago, and I haven't spoken to him since." That's how foolish it is, and that's how foolish we are. Life just pulls on those strings if we could just relax. Haven't spoke to him in 5 years. Well, we're like the mules. We just need to learn how to forgive. And let me just say this. Do you know that Jesus expects us to be forgivers? It isn't really an option. It isn't that if I want to be a better Christian, if I want to do the right things, if I want to bless, I got to forgive. Forgiveness is a natural part of our life. And when it's not, we're not forgiving, He knows it. And let me share with you. I'm going to read in the scriptures here today a message. It's really simple. It's profound. It's from the Word of God. But I want you to get this down. Because if there's somebody in your life that has really hurt you and really kind of got you, and you feel like that old mule, you're just not going to talk to it no more. You're going to pull the reins. You're going to fight it. You're not going to give it up. You destroy not your life, but you destroy all the lives around you. It really does. It's catching. I want to read in Matthew chapter 18 today. I want to read in verse 21. And I want to read this just these several verses right here. And I want you to just follow along with me. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? You know, Peter, he was kind of cocky and he was kind of rough. And Peter was the one who just said a lot of things and did a lot of things that resembles us more than probably anyone else. So he's asking God, God, how many times I got to forgive that guy? Seven times? That's a lot. How many times? We all have that guy in our life, or that person in our life, right? That person we got to keep forgiving. We got to keep forgiving. We just got to keep forgiving. Don't we all have that person? Say, yeah. How many times do I need to forgive that person? Seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, I don't know if Peter was a mathematician, but he knew that was a lot more than he had thought. That goes out a long way. 70 times seven forever is what Jesus was trying to get the steel across. We are accountable for forgiveness forever. You know why? We have been forgiven. Since we have been forgiven, we need to pass it on. Now, in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, I want you to get this. This is going to be saying about money and stuff, but really what the story is about sin. To settle the account. We are sinners. How can I go to heaven? Somebody has to pay for my sin. See, heaven's perfect. There's no sin in heaven. No sin will be allowed in heaven. So the sin is the only way we can go to heaven because our sin has to be atoned for. It has to be forgiven. And what could forgive my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. And so, see, the only way we can have a fellowship with Christ is through forgiveness. And we have perfect access to the Heavenly Father through His Son who forgave us. So He's going to use this parable to tell us about how forgiveness works. In verse 24, and we begin to settle the account. One was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. I haven't looked this up for a long time, but I dealt with 10,000 talents. It's millions of dollars. Big bet. A big debt. It was a debt that this man could never pay. I don't know how he got in this much debt. But he owed him 10,000 talents, millions of dollars at the salary they made in those days. He could have never paid it. That's the example. My debt to God, in order for me to get to heaven, is so big, I could never pay my debt. I could never earn my way to heaven. I could never forgive enough. So this man owned him 10,000 talents, and the king was going to call it in. Time to pay it up. And we begin to settle account. He found 10,000 talents. But he's not able to pay, the master has commanded, that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. He would sell his family, his wife, and children to pay his debt for the rest of their life. He couldn't pay the debt. Isn't it terrible being in debt? Debt is stressful. Sin debt is really stressful. The only way they could be paid, he would take them and for the rest of their life, his family put into slavery. Be owned by somebody. That was the way it could happen. Now, the servant then fell before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and he forgave his debt. He let him go. He just forgave him. You know, the reason why you're a Christian, the reason why you get to go to heaven, because God just forgave your debt. your sin debt, all the sins that you've ever played out in life and will play out in life, he's forgiven our debt. We couldn't have paid it. This was the story. We were in so much debt because of sin, we were stuck. There was no way to get through it. But thank God for this master who came and gave us grace and let it go. He just relieved the debt. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. He just came to me and I said, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but man, I got so much bad. I got a lot of things. He says, yeah, I know that, Ron. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you your break today. If you would just acknowledge me as the God who died for you, I'll make you free. My sin is free. My guilt has been cleansed. The chains have been broken. He did that for this man. Aren't you glad he did it for that man? Aren't you glad he did it for us? That's the story. He has set us free. You think you have problems? Think about all the sin that you've committed, all the hurt you've done, all the pain you've shared. How would you carry that without the grace of Christ? How could you carry that? How could you look in the mirror? How could you even go to work? How could you even go make money when you're so far in debt? You're going nowhere. You're going to die and go to hell. Aren't you glad he came to forgive us and restore us in the fullness? Now, he'd been set free. Think about how feeling that was. Remember the day you got saved? Remember when you got saved? How good that felt? Many people say like 1,000 pounds of weight came off your shoulder, all that heaviness, all that debt, all that clutter, all that sin. He just forgave me. This man has been forgiven. He's got to be excited. His wife was saved. His children were saved. He was saved because the master had compassion on him. In verse 28, but the servant went out and found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Probably about $150. Pretty big debt, but not too bad. He owed him a little bit of money in comparison. And then he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, that's kind of like us. God completely set us free by grace. He relieved our debt. Then somebody owes us $10 and you want to kill him over it. You want to fight him over it. You want to just not talk to him because of it. Because of that money, you don't want him to deal with him. He took from you. He just forgot what God did for him. He just forgot all that God had done for him. So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. And he went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. Threw him in prison, locked him down for a few bucks when he had been forgiven millions. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then the master, after he called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged. Should you not have even compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And the master was angry and delivered him over to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now let me share this with you. Grace is phenomenal. It's wonderful. By grace, he forgave us. But grace does make demands. The demand is I have forgiven you all that you've done in your life. I want you to forgive those who are around you. Because if you don't, you're going to pay a price. See, we think that we as Christians cannot forgive people and be okay. We can come to church, we can sing, we can give offerings, we can pray, we can have fellowship, we can love one another that's here. But that one person or that three people out there that we won't forgive, it doesn't bother me. I'm okay in here. But you know what bothers? The person who forgave you. It bothers him. that he gave us so much grace and mercy. And then all he wants us to do is to love people and forgive them as we have been forgiven. People who are lost doesn't know the difference. They just need to be forgiven. They don't need to have their sins scored and everything kept up with all the wrong things they've done. You've got to let it go. See, with God, it's real serious. You ever wonder why the kingdom of God doesn't get bigger? Churches aren't packed? You ever wonder why this great story that we have about his grace and his love of loving and forgiving everybody, why they don't come? Because of Christians who refuse to forgive co-workers and neighbors and families, it hinders the kingdom of God. Let me remind you of that. I want just want to go over just a couple of verses, a couple of chapters. I want to go to chapter 6. We'll talk about when Jesus taught us how to pray. In verse 9, in this matter, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Got that? As God forgives us, we forgive others. All we do is pass it on. You don't have to invent the wheel. God gave you the wheel. Just pass on what he did. When he forgave us, this communion we took today, it reminded us of his death, what it cost him to forgive me, what it cost me to be set free in my life. And he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then verse 14 and 15 is probably the most important part of the summation of that prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's not a question. It's a statement. If I'm not willing to forgive you, my forgiveness is locked down. And when I feel guilty and shame and terrible, I can't get out from under it. I can go to church 10 times. I can pray. But until I forgive you, I'm locked down. This guilt destroys me. You know how I deal with guilt? Some people get drunk. Some people take dope. Some people work 80 hours and make money. Some people just run from life. Because, see, the pressure of that sin and that guilt in your life just drives you. It owns you. It masters you. Do you understand? Until we're willing to let it loose, until we're willing to forgive those who have trespassed against us, how can the Father continue to give us that phenomenal cleansing of our sins? So do you understand this? When we refuse to forgive people who hurt us, if you ever say this, I illustrate this a lot, rationalize. We lie to ourselves. Well, Brother Ron, you don't understand what he did to me or she did to me or they did to me. No, I don't. But I know what God did for you. He took $1 million of debt off of your heart and give you life and give you freedom and give you grace and give you tomorrow and give you blessings and give you everything because you couldn't pay your debt. Now he asks you to just relieve somebody else. And if we won't, we're stuck. Say that. We're stuck. And I don't care how much you sing in the choir. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate. If you refuse, you're like that old farmer. He kicked me 5 years ago, and I ain't talked to him since, and you're stuck, and all you do is spend your whole life pulling when you could have just spoke it. We don't realize that. We don't understand how much forgiveness cost God. He died for my forgiveness. He gave us forgiveness. were the debtor that had the millions of dollars that couldn't pay it, and we just asked him, and he did. He forgave me. And now that he forgave me, he says, I want my whole light to shine in the world. I want you to be light in darkness, and I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to bring healing. And the way that we become light and salt is how? By forgiving those who have broken our hearts. Forgiving those who have abused us. Forgiving those that have used us. And if we don't forgive them, if we don't come grace into their lives, we are just stuck going through the religious motions and never experience the power and the glory and the miracles of God. Wouldn't you like to come to church weekly and experience the miracle power of God in worship? Wouldn't you like to come into the house of God and see the shining glory of God and His power fall upon us? He wants us to have that. That's what it's all about. But our lack of, not His lack, but our lack of forgiveness blocks His grace and mercy to be applied into the blessings of our lives. I can never become not one of His children, but I can be a child of God that's miserable and don't even know it because I have refused to forgive someone who hurt me. I just want you to know, it's love's toughest work to forgive. Don't say you love me if you can't forgive me. Don't say you love me if you won't talk to me. Don't say that I'm just human. When God made you more than human, He gave you His Holy Spirit. Love's toughest work. That's the reason why it says in 13, love is the greatest of all. Love never dies because love is what forgives us through life. And if we think we can come to church and play church and have it our way and make it all about us and get mad at somebody and hope they don't show up and think it's okay next Sunday because they're gone, gee whiz, how much we've missed what grace and forgiveness is about. And if you think you can do that, and if I think I can do that, I haven't read my Bible at all. We've just taken communion. We stood in front of Him $1 million in debt, and He cleansed us and set us free. And all He does is ask us to set the next one free that we meet, that hit our path, that owes us, that's taken from us, and freed up. Forgiveness is not a prayer. Prayer begins forgiveness. Forgiveness takes a while. When you've been hurt deep, you just don't pray a prayer and say, okay, I'm going to go shake their hands and be okay. Forgiveness is a process. It's a process of grace and mercy and peace. And so I want you to experience the forgiveness of Christ in your life. And I want you to pass it on. Now let me just ask you a question before we leave here this morning. Who do you need to start praying for your forgiveness? Who hurt you down the road years, a long time ago, or this week? Who hurts you that you have never got past? How many church members, now get a hold of this, how many church members across America that has quit going to church by the millions and millions because they refuse to forgive? I've been hurt at church. I've been scattered at church. And I won't forgive. I'll just be like that old mule. I'll just pull it and I'll never talk to it. How many church people are neutralized and do nothing but hinder the kingdom of God because they refuse to forgive the people or the situation that hurt them the most? When God says, I gave you millions and billions of dollars of forgiveness, and I just want you to pass on some change in your life. And you can be stuck and be here today. You can be going through the religious motions and never see the glory and the power of God because you refuse to forgive them. And Jesus says, if you refuse to forgive them, I'll not forgive until you started it. Now sleep on that. That'll make you stay awake at night. And here's how you forgive. God, I'd like to hurt him, but I can't. God, I'd like to tell him, but it didn't work. So God, I want to forgive him. I want to forgive him like you forgave me. I want to let it go. I just want to let that go. I want to live my life. I want to be a blessing to my family. I want to be a blessing to everyone around. Because see, here's what happens. When you won't forgive, your whole family paid for it. See, he took your children, he took everything around you, and made them go to slaves. If you won't forgive, your whole family pays for it. And they're so used to you of not being a forgiver, they just kind of overlook it. But you stop the power of God in your life. Now that's communion. That's what it's all about. And the thing that drove God nuts in the Old Testament when Moses' people was murmuring. They murmured and murmured and murmured, and it drove him nuts. I wish he could come to a Baptist church and just hear the murmuring and murmuring because of the lack of how this works. Aren't you glad that we was that debtor that we couldn't, and he did? And isn't it so foolish that we can't pass it on? Let it go. Let it go. Maybe take a note today and just write it down and just put it in the mail. I'm sorry I haven't forgiven you a long time ago, but I'm working at it today. I don't really matter at you no more. I want to let it go. I want my light to shine again. I want to breathe again. There's not enough money can fix it. New car can't fix it. A new husband, new wife can't fix it. New children can't fix it. Only God can fix this. And just let him fix it. Let's pass it on so we can find the freedom of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let's stand together this morning. I trust everyone here today is a born-again believer in Christ, been saved by grace, by mercy and love. But are you a person who's passing it on? Are you a person that keeps score what they did and you just can't get past it? I just can't get past it. I just how I'm wired. I just can't get past it. Well, read your Bible until you get past it. You're stuck. Let it happen. Now, that means when I forgive somebody, you know, some people think, well, if I forgive them, that means you've got to invite them over to the house. No, you don't have to invite them over to the house. You ain't got to go have dinner with them. You ain't got to go out and hang out with them. But you just got to be free when you see them. You don't duck them at Walmart. When you see them, you can just walk down the aisle and be free. So I'm not asking you just to have them over to the house and be best friends. I'm asking you to get over it and love them in spite of it. Got that? See, some people think if I forgive them, that means I got to call them and talk. That didn't mean nothing. It just means you can walk down the same aisle at Walmart and don't even feel the failing anymore. Because it's free. And only God can free that up. Understand that. Live a life. I don't know how many years I've worked in divorce cases and ministry and counseling. And help them and get through it and go through a divorce. And it's so painful. It's life after divorce. And we're thankful for that. But they remarry down the road. And I was a pastor long enough to know that they had the same issues with the next one. The problem was they just learned to forgive this one, and it worked a lot better. See how it works? You can't replace it. You got to forgive it. And when you do, life works again. As we sing, who do you need to turn loose? What heart do you need to touch? What words do you need to say to change life?